throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
That intro was done by Jack Rutkowski, one of our past guests who is the voice of Beachbody, like all those P90X videos.
Oh, but yeah. That was Brian's question.
Right, and that was Brian Freeman right there. Hi, everyone at Early Call Time. This is a special episode where... So you see, the first time that we had Brian on to describe what he does as a camera assistant, he, in fact... We never actually asked him, what does a camera assistant do? He just described his career path and all the cool stuff he's done. And so now, because Patrick Lawler, who is also a guest of ours... So Patrick Lawler is a cinematographer... Brian Freeman is a camera assistant. Me and JJ Geiger are in post-production. And now we are going to discuss exactly what a camera department is, what jobs are in there, and, you know, pretty much what the hierarchy of all those positions are and how it works. So, Patrick, Brian, say hello.
Hello.
Boy, this is fun.
Do it.
Fine.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming, guys.
Totes.
Totes.
Foch.
Foch.
Totes.
Foch,
totes,
foch. Foch, totes. Foch. Okay. So I'm really good friends with both of these people. Actually, I'm really good friends with all three of these people. So what positions are in a camera department, guys?
Just to start it off like that?
Okay, you know what? This is what I'll do. Okay, so I'm a first-time producer. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
You shouldn't.
It's a real stretch. Then. It's a real stretch. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome to Hollywood, dude.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, yep, this sounds like every other job I'm doing.
And so, so I'm producing for the first time. I'm like, fuck, I need to, you know, rent some camera people. So, what are the calls I need to make? Who do I need to hire in order to have a functional camera department?
Well, first you call this guy, Mr. Patrick Lawler.
Okay.
Because he is Mr. Bossman when it comes to any job that you're shooting.
And what would be the position that Patrick fills?
The cinematographer.
Director
of photography.
Yeah. Okay. So those two words are interchangeable.
Yeah. So the cinematographer is in charge of the camera and lighting department.
Okay.
So he's basically in charge of hiring the two people who run each department underneath him.
Okay.
So that is the gaffer and the first AC.
All right.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a first AC and a second AC?
So a first AC is...
And AC stands for assistant camera.
Assistant camera assistant, camera technician, some people say, any sort of assisting level.
Okay.
But the first AC's main job is to what we call pull focus, which is, I mean, all these shots you see, the camera's always flying around, moving left and right on cranes and cars. And that whole time, there's always somebody on a knob that's attached to the lens, either wireless or a follow focus on the rods, and they're always manipulating the lens that if you're at 12 feet, I better make sure that lens is at 12 feet so that you can be in focus.
Okay.
And if they're tracking, you're going 12, 7, 4, 3, and...
So you're going by settings on the knob and not by looking at, like, a screen and be like, oh, shit, is that in focus? I can't
Don't look at the screen, yeah. That's the number one mistake that a lot of people make is they pull off the screen, and the only thing is that the problem with that is that you're being reactionary. So if you're pulling focus... off a screen, your brain is compensating for it being soft. So you're constantly going to be...
Playing catch up.
Okay.
So things you need to anticipate where the actors are going to land. And you have to know distances with your eye. And you have to be able to pull focus from, like, potentially not being able to see a screen.
Okay.
Sometimes there won't be a screen for you.
So, I mean, it's a kind of these two worlds, because in the old school world, you didn't have all these HD monitors, and people would – it's literally only eye. You lay marks down. You take your time rehearsing a scene. You understand where the actors are going. So you're really – when you say action, you're playing in the scene just as much as the actors are. Like, your focus and attention is there.
Okay.
But in this new day and age, when the producers have all these video villages and everything, the second they see an image, it's like, go. Let's shoot. Like, let's not – so that's – it's tough for a lot of times, first ACs in this day and age, to not, I mean, everyone has their own way to do it, but I always see people behind screens, and it's not the real way to do it, because you're not watching the action, you're not watching what's going on.
Okay. So yeah, you can't see depth, you know? You're only looking at a flat picture.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of calculations, like depending on what stop you're shooting, your depth of field changes, so your near and far focus shifts during the shot, if your exposure changes, and there's all sorts of calculations that you need to keep running in your head so you know that you're doing job properly. Because if a shot's not in focus, why would you want to watch it?
Right.
Unless it's an artistic or motivational thing.
So is that all the first AC is doing, just pulling focus, or is he doing other things?
No.
Or is she doing other things?
That's he or she is main job, and as long as they have a good second AC, that should be one of the only things they're worrying about.
Okay. You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes like I'll hire a first AC, and if it's a small shoot, they're doing a lot more. Mm-hmm. So they're running back and forth to the boxes and getting different lenses and swapping media and stuff. But if you have the budget for a second AC, technically the first AC is supposed to be by camera all day long and never leave it. Right.
Okay.
So a second AC allows you the first AC to not have to leave the camera. So the camera's always protected. It's never going to fall over. It's never going to get bumped. It's never going to be in the way because the first AC is there to manage it.
Okay.
So the second AC runs the cards back and forth to the DIT who's in charge of downloading the footage.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
So DIT is part of camera department?
Yeah. Like the data intake technician.
Okay.
So whenever you fill up a card, you take it to the DIT and then he/she downloads it onto a hard drive. And so it's good to have that position separated from someone who's worrying about camera because you can make mistakes and you do not want to make mistakes in that job.
Especially when you're handling footage.
Yes.
Like, because if you fuck up with footage, it's gone.
That's your whole day right there.
That's your whole day, yeah. My first time DITing, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I'd never done it before. I didn't know that it was even a position.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hired by one of my teachers to come down and help out, and he didn't have very much money for this music video production. He just assumed that I had been taught how to DIT, so he's like, just copy all the footage over. And I had never shot with more than one camera.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, I have two 7Ds, and I'm downloading all this footage, and I'm just putting all of the files into one folder.
Oh.
Right? And I had never done any of this. You know, I was like a sophomore in college, you know? And so I'm copying all these things into this folder, and all of a sudden, files start overwriting each other. Because the two different 7Ds, like 7Ds go up to like, you know, a certain number of naming convention,
God.
And then they start over again.
Wow.
So the two cameras are offset, you know. So then all of a sudden, like camera B is shooting like shot number 6001 that was previously shot like 4 hours earlier this morning by camera A. And they start writing over each other. And I start realizing this. So then I stop and like I talk to one of the guys and I realize that I had downloaded and written over all of ACAM for the first 4 hours of the day for this music video. And so like, fortunately I like had the card still. And so I had to like tether a telephone to get some internet access and pirate a data recovery software and like get all the footage off the card. Oh God, it was like the worst thing. Like the DP never, ever talked to me ever again. Like he hated me. After that, and like I still see him on Facebook and sometimes in real life and stuff like that, and he'll never let that down. Like I could be getting an Oscar and he'll like come and be like, oh fucking Patrick, fuck God,
it's like,
you know, right? Yeah. So and, like this guy like DITs for fucking Transformers and shit now. So it's like I'm like, oh God, like this guy's gonna hate me forever, and he's always gonna be like, he's not
going anywhere.
Going. So. So that's why it's, you know, the hierarchy is very important to maintain. You know, there's a reason why everything is the way it is, and it's because it works.
Yeah. Okay, so the DP is overseeing the ACs and the lighting department.
Mm-hmm.
First AC is always by camera, pulling focus.
Mm-hmm.
Second AC.
Swapping lenses.
Swapping cards.
Mm-hmm.
Swapping batteries.
Second AC is doing.
Laying marks, taking camera logs.
That's what first AC is doing.
First AC is pulling the batteries, doing everything that involves touching the camera. So pulling the battery on and off, pulling the lens on and off, and handing it off to the second. The second takes the lens and runs it back to the case.
Okay.
Also, same thing with batteries and cards.
Yes.
Is second AC also doing the slate?
Yes.
Okay.
So taking a slate, taking camera notes,
and slate
for a supervisor.
Is the clapper, the thing that
the
you see.
Clapper.
Scene two, take one,
yeah.
Mark.
And what is good etiquette for saying that sentence? Because I know what I'd like as an assistant editor. What are you guys trained?
What do you like? As
yeah,
an
I'm
assistant
actually
editor?
Very curious.
I like it when they, you know, first off, don't get creative with your. With your initials. Like, if it's an A, go for Apple.
Yeah.
Don't be Albatross.
Time.
You know, like, don't go for the laugh.
There's a couple variations.
The laugh is, I mean, I was doing that for a while, and, you know, just for fun on a shoot, I was a second AC, and I said, like, scene one, Bieber take two or whatever, and I made the little girl laugh, and it was supposed to be like this really sad scene where this angel like kills her.
You fucking asshole, Patrick.
Because God wanted her to be up in heaven or some shit like that, right? And so like I made her laugh, and like everyone got super pissed at me, and that's how I learned like to not fuck around with the slate.
Yeah,
it's surprisingly so interesting.
See, but then sometimes you get like people going like xenophobe or like, so I was like, is that an X? Is that a Z?
You should pneumonia. Stay away from that.
Yeah, knife. Unless you're only. So it's like, so this is, I like, stick to the normal like letters, like Alpha Bravo Charlie, like that whole shit, Foxtrot. No, do that, and then when you say Mark, the absolute next thing should be
a coughing.
Sorry. So when you, after you say Mark, the absolute next thing should be the slate coming down and clapping. Like, I like just going for Mark because at that point, I've seen that audio wave file so many times that I know what it looks like, and I don't even need to listen to it. I know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
So when you, like, fuddle around and be like, what is this? Is this Charlie? Is this Delta? Like, don't record any of that stuff. Sorry. Don't record any of that stuff. Just go straight into the slate, say the letter, say Mark, and then slap it down.
Well, it should always be in and out.
Yeah,
exactly.
It should be as quick and efficient as possible. Yes.
Yeah, slate should not take a minute.
Yeah, I remember one time we were shooting this feature, and our second AC had stage fright. Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we had hired him for like an assistant position, right? Somebody else had hired him. He had never, like, he had done camera stuff, but he wasn't accustomed to second AC stuff, and there's no way to turn it off. Like, no matter how much you built his confidence up, like, I think he only, like, correctly slated something, like, 3 times on an entire feature. Because every single time he'd go up and be like, sing, and then everyone would be like, come on! And then he'd be like, and that would make him even more freaked out. He'd be like, and we would all just be like, and then he'd be like, apple! And then, like, slap, and then be like, oh, am I good? And then look for approval, like, get the fuck out of the shot! You know, like, but I mean, like, he was just inexperienced, you know? And, like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to call you out, buddy. Like, you're a cool dude. But it was just like, you know, like,
clean slate.
It's gotta be efficient, confident, it's not even that big a deal. No one else is gonna see it except for the editor. So
exactly. Here was a nightmare slate that I had one time. Mm-hmm. So I was doing slates on this Lifetime movie. I was doing syncing on this Lifetime movie, and the slates that I was seeing was, they weren't even saying what it was. All I saw was 3 blended frames of the slate leaving the frame. So it was 3 blurred frames where it's like, does that say scene 38D? What is it? Like, I couldn't make it out. So I sent, like, at the end of every night of my syncing work, I would send an email with any issues that I saw, like, oh, the, you know, audio didn't sound correct on, you know, this take, or, you know, this frame or this thing was mislated. And I'll only say it if it, like, really fucked up something. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, can we? And it was only second unit that was fucking up. Second unit is always the only thing that fucks up on a like, if there's a second unit, they're guaranteed to fuck up. At least on Lifetime.
Not when I'm running second unit.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
At least on Lifetime movies. Stuff. So they would only give me 3 frames of blurred slate that I couldn't read. Like, I'd have to, like, keep on referencing scripty notes.
Oh, so this guy would roll it every time he heard the clap or something?
He just wouldn't do it right. Like, just
like, oh, the clap means I should press the red button,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, can you guys give me, like, count to 3 Mississippi? Like, give me 3 Mississippis of slate. Like, I need to see it. And so then they would count to, like, 15 Mississippis.
Oh, God.
And then talk
strange.
And they would talk shit about me while counting to it. They'd be like, well, if this isn't enough, I don't know what is. And it's like, motherfuckers, I'm not saying this to be a dick. I'm saying this so that, like, this job could get done together. And then
we're on the same team.
Little did they know, all those dailies, I had to send dailies to the financiers, and I could have muted all of that footage.
Oh, but you did it.
But I did not. So now all the financiers see that. And I don't think second unit even saw the end of that shoot. I think they got fired and replaced.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thanks, guys.
I have a question about AC and the camera units and all that.
Yes,
now,
JJ?
Now, I see a lot of, because I also go through footage a lot, and you see a variety of things on your work belt. Like gaffer's tape and I don't know what else. What's like the quintessential amount of equipment someone in the AC department or is an AC. God, I can't even talk right now. Yeah. That's an AC. Who? What would they have on their belt?
All right. Well, I mean, when I first started, I thought I needed absolutely everything. So I had like a fat pouch, like all kinds of pens and
scoot your chair closer. Can you hear me? You know, scooch the mic closer.
Yeah, the mic's easier to move.
Yeah.
But How's that? Can you hear me now?
Get that over. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it tailors to every job you're doing. But, I mean, when I first started out, I thought I needed absolutely everything. So I'd be wearing this hunk of shit, like all kinds of C-wrenches and pliers and stubbies and pens and pencils and tapes and Sharpies and slate pens, tape measures.
Husky bag around your waist.
Like,
yeah.
Everything that I now keep in a go bag, I had on my waist, and I quickly realized that that's not the way.
How heavy was that belt? That utility belt.
It wasn't easy, like going to the bathroom or sitting down to lunch. It's always like a fumble. But over the last like year and a half or so, now I carry a Sharpie, a pen, a slate pen, my Leatherman, and three rolls of small tape, and that's the only thing I carry on me. And everything else I put in, basically a tool bag, a Husky bag, and that has all my other tools, my marks, my camera logs, batteries, filters, follow focus accessories, and I basically just put it next to camera, wherever camera is.
Okay. Sure, that makes sense.
So everything that I need to work with is not on me, it's just in my tool bag next to camera.
Now, the tape rolls, that you say you had three rolls of tape. Mm-hmm. Does it matter what colors they
have to be? Pink, green, and orange.
Pink is my favorite tape color.
Always,
actually.
Always pink, green, and orange.
No, I'm just joking. Get whatever colors you want.
It's funny because in the camera world, you'd be surprised how expensive tape actually is and how many different kinds of tape there are.
You ever paid $30 for tape?
Yeah.
Home, you ever paid $30 for tape? Fuck you.
I've never gone on like a tape shopping spree and spent like over $100 on tape.
It always breaks my heart every time I go to Film Tools. I'm like, oh my god. It spends like $300 on like four things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got 2-inch photo black, which is basically you can use to cover like parts of the map box where light can't leak through. That's like $30 a roll. You got like gaffer's cloth tape that you use for different things. It's like $15 a roll. And then you got all kinds, a variety of colored paper tape, which is mainly used for like giving marks on the floor for actors.
Okay.
But it's a roll filled with like 15 different colors, and those are all $10 a pop.
And that's what's great because you can put it on like walls and stuff and it won't rip the paint off.
Yes.
Too bad. That stuff's like, that's what I like. It's not like super, like, it's not like gaff tape.
Not intrusive.
It could actually, you can put it on the floor, you can put it anywhere.
You got electrical tape to mark cameras if you're running more than one camera, like A is red, B is blue. C is either yellow or green, and then
whatever color starts with C.
Yes,
Carulean.
Here's a good question. Oh, go ahead, JJ.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you say it's expensive, but can you write that off on your taxes as well?
Yeah.
Oh okay. Yeah.
They're all business expenses.
My receipt folder for tax is like that fat.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a business expense.
Yeah.
You could write off that $500 tape shopping spree. Yeah.
But also, sometimes productions will give you like a kit fee. Mm-hmm. And then, or an expendables budget. So a lot of times, productions will pay for it. Which
that
is super
leads
nice.
Into my question.
Yes.
Into my question. So, you know, you guys have your day rates, and that's one way to like, you know, get paid. But then you can also get fatter day rates by having like equipment that you rent along with your services, right?
Yeah.
So
my equipment makes more money than I do.
So
it's kind of funny.
So why don't you guys go through your equipment list and then like what would be a good like starter for people that are like trying to do what you're doing, like so that they could up their day rates?
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Why don't you guys just go through your equipment list and like how you guys kind of like decided to get that?
Okay, so for me, I don't have too much tools, right? So I've given away all my AC stuff that I've had over the years. I've given it to people who are trying to start out and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I am now in a position where I get to hire my friends like Brian and Rich, who have
who you've lent all your equipment to.
Who have? Yeah. Yeah. I forgot who I've. But you know. So basically, I bring my camera, right? So everything involved in the camera. So like, I have like a couple of screwdrivers that like work with the camera specifically. Then maybe a knife. The DP job's pretty cushy, you know. In the bigger shoots, there's basically almost nothing I have to bring, except for just the camera.
Okay.
Let's see, like a light meter.
Like what is like how much, like
how much camera equipment do I bring?
Like I don't even want to get into like money, but it's like how much like does a red package go for?
Okay, so a red camera package will cost you anywhere from like $800 to $1,500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what kind of red camera it is and what kind of accessories it has. So like I can build my camera into like
a variety of different configurations. And that's what I like about the Red itself, is that it's modular. So like I can build it into like a $400 a day package if I really need to hook someone up with a homie hookup. So it's like just a few cards and like maybe one or two batteries and just the monitor, and that's it. Right. And then they have to provide their own lenses and stuff. Or I can give them the whole thing, which is all like six cases that takes like a whole like hatchback card of fill, you know, and you know, hundreds of pounds of equipment, you know, I mean, right. Like, and it's, it just depends. Like sometimes when you're flying somewhere, you only have room in your backpack, or like sometimes, you know, I can fill an entire car. Like I've had like my entire car filled with over $1 million worth of gear before, and like had to drive it up and down California full of stuff, you know? So it's like,
if only they knew.
Yeah. It's drastically changes.
Okay.
With camera stuff. But I think with AC stuff, I mean, there's like some standards.
Yeah. So what's a standard package? What do you offer in your equipment list?
Well, if you're a first AC or like a Steadicam operator, I guess the big thing to buy would be a wireless follow focus unit, which is called like a Preston, which is like the mother of all, and that's like $30,000.
Okay.
And then these are like big investments. So if you buy something for $30,000, the day rent of that is probably like $550 a day.
Okay.
So it might take you a little while to recoup $30,000, obviously.
Right.
That's why I haven't bought a nice tripod, because they rent for $100 a day and they cost $20,000.
Exactly. Sometimes it doesn't match up how much you pay for something and how much it rents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for me, I own a Teradek, which is a wireless HD transmitter receiver.
They're very nice. I like using those.
Which is great. And like, I have a really good Steadicam op friend, Orlando, which Pat has also worked with a number of times. And he rents it out for me all the time. So that's nice. And I have a 17-inch monitor, which he used for like Video Village. Or sometimes First we'll use it to pull focus and check their focus. So like, those are two things. But I mean, as a second AC, which I work mostly as, I'm not going to invest in like a Preston wireless follow focus system. But yeah, I mean, they're just tools. They help you. They make you more valuable, because it's just something else that you can bring to the table. And if it helps you do your job better, then by power to you. Like, I've pulled focus on certain jobs where they can't afford another monitor. So, I mean, I'll just bring mine for free because it helps me do my job.
It makes you look better.
Yeah.
Sure.
If it makes my job easier, then why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you have any advice for any ACs or up and coming cinematographers starting jobs? Like, do you take everything?
Like, what's the first thing that you take? Do you take a PA job? Do you take is there like a PA level?
I would take a camera. Yeah. There's always, I always try to bring on a camera PA.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's always someone who you want to bring on set who needs to see how big sets run. And learn the proper etiquette and stuff like that. So usually it'll be someone who knows cameras but isn't like super crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just have fun kind of like teaching them, you know? And so it's like, this is how you like, you know, clean a lens, or like, this is how you deliver a lens to someone. And we bring them out, and like, it's a great place to learn. And there's very, very, very little chance for any sort of like heavy responsibility to put on your back so you can fuck up. Like, it's really hard to fuck up a camera PA job, because it's mostly just carrying cases.
Right.
And just like helping clean lenses or something like
that. And like, people are invested in like helping, because they're like, oh, this person will be like way better for the next shoot, and we could actually like have another helping hand.
Oh yeah, totally.
And you got a good attitude, and you pull your weight, you're good to go.
I've had tons of camera PAs like come through, and now they're all firsting and stuff, and they're doing cool shit.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, when I got out of school, like, I didn't know anybody, and I went to Santa Barbara. It's not an NYU or USC. They don't have production base. I'm playing with old cameras and old equipment, and I have no idea what's going on. So I get home, like, oh, look on Craigslist or Mandy.com. Like, let's try and get in the business. And I did that for like half a year, and like, nothing was worthwhile. Like, nothing was leading to anything. Maybe one legitimate person I hooked up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this kind of sucks. But then he told me about a program at Panavision, which is another way that camera assistants get into, is if they work at a rental house. Because a lot of jobs, like these commercials and music videos and features, they come through rental houses, and all the ACs come in and they spend all day prepping their jobs, and you're the guy there that's helping them prep their job. So you're spending all day with them.
Right.
And if they keep coming in like over and over again, you build these relationships. So when I worked at Panavision in Hollywood for 2 years, I was lucky because I made a lot of relationships, and I was lucky that once I left there, they started hiring me. And then when you work on one job, you meet somebody, and then you just make friends. They hire you in the next job, and just kind of like, you got to keep moving. You always got to be talking to people. You always got to
be. Yeah, every job is just a web full of people that might give you more work.
And yeah, you just build and build and build relationships. And as long as you do good work and you like the people you work with, then that's when it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Well,
I don't know where you want to go with this.
No, I think that's good. How long is that?
25 minutes.
Fucking nailed it. Brian Freeman, thank you for coming. Patrick Lawler, thank you for coming. JJ Geiger,
hey.
You've been the shit as always.
Oh, thanks.
And David Squitz, let's not toot our own horn, but you're doing good too, buddy.
This was a very special episode.
Yeah, this was a special episode. You know what? It would be cool if we did this with other departments too.
We could probably do that.
Multi, we made this like a mini series.
Let's just do this. Let's just keep talking about ACs.
Do you guys have more to say?
I mean, I can talk.
Well, then,
hours.
Fuck you too.
All right.
All right, guys. Everyone, thanks for listening, and listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.